You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Happy hump day. Hopefully you had a great St. Patrick's Day. We're taking calls, 216-578-0850, and we're going to dive right in. We've got a full phones. So I'm going to go to my man, Scott in Dayton. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, Matt. I've been listening to the show, and I've been my 13-year-old is sick, so he's here. Anyway, I've been showing him the website and explaining the team's transactions and their traditions. On your show last week, Nathan made a reference to seeing the transactions on the website. And do you guys know why there's no 2015 transactions there? I was showing him the all-time roster, and it doesn't appear that it's been updated since 2007. So I realize I'm kind of old and a traditionalist, but, you know, the new Browns fans come from us, and the history is so important. I guess also, is Heritage Hall going to be mini Hall of Fame for the Browns going to be reopened anytime soon so I can take him up?
I can speak on the first part. I can't speak on the second part there. The first part, we got a lot of moving pieces with the website right now. We're actually doing a kind of a nice audit, and your call actually raises our attention to a lot of areas we're trying to kind of clean up on the website, going to give it a fresher, kind of make it more worthwhile for you. So I can guarantee we'll get to work on that pretty soon. We're working on a lot of different things with the website and getting it back up to speed, but it should be good for viewing very soon.
And Scott, what was your second question about the Hall of Fame? He's gone. Scott is gone. What we'll do is I will do everything I can, here in Berea every day to ask the proper questions and find the right people to see, you know, what they're going to be doing with the Hall of Fame coming up, so we can get you and your son to that event if it does still exist. Let's go to Dan in Long Beach, California. You lucky man, you.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's the weather up there?
The weather is better. Monday, I believe, was in the mid to high 50s. We're back into the high 30s, low 40s,
but it's sunny.
Oh, man, we're dealing with a heat stroke, so sorry about that.
You just can't drink water.
Yeah, right.
Come melt some of our snow.
So I would say my top game, I think of all time, was definitely that win last year. Putting Pittsburgh down for the first time like that was pretty awesome, the easy one to go with. But I really wanted to address, and you guys got a lot of flack last week, especially at the end of the week when you had the kid on Friday, and you had all these callers calling in, and basically just sounded like impatient baby boomers.
That's
right.
You
know what I mean? And, I haven't been a Browns fan as long as those guys, only because I haven't been alive long enough, but I've been alive long enough to see them really only go 68 and 132 over the last, basically, 10 years it was. And, it's not fun, but... You know, if you look back to the last 10 years of some of the free agents that they've signed, you go back to Jeff Garcia, Charles Bentley, Gary Baxter, Sean Rogers, Dante Stallworth, got them all excited, and for what? I mean, I just don't understand, and maybe you guys can shed some light. I just don't understand these guys that call in and want all these high-priced free agents that just make no sense. I mean, and all these people that are calling for Hoyer back were probably the same people that wanted him.
I want to interrupt you really quick. Have you been happy with the signing of Tremont Williams, Randy Starks, and the potential of signing Dwayne Bowe? Would that make you happy as a Browns fan and move in the right direction?
You look at the Tremont Williams signing, and you think it's basically insurance. You've got Joe Hayden, obviously locked down top corner, and then you've got essentially three second-year pros, right? What if Gilbert gets hurt? Or what if Hayden gets hurt? I'm sorry. What if Hayden gets hurt? Then you're screwed. So getting Tremont Williams is just a great insurance policy, and I think you said it yesterday. You're probably only going to have him for 1 year if, best-case scenario, Gilbert ends a turnaround. And everyone to give him so much crap, and you guys don't remember how bad Screen was. I mean, he's developed, don't get me wrong, but there were so many games, especially his rookie year, where you knew when the ball was going his way, he was done for. And I just didn't understand what everyone's, flack was. And, obviously, Shear didn't fit here, Hoyer didn't fit here, neither did Screen, especially not for that price. But I just didn't understand what everyone was, you know, of course, Revis gets you excited, but, you know, come on, are we really going to get pay that money for that? It's just ridiculous.
You're right, Dan. Thank you very much for the call, Dan.
I think the thing that to discuss, too, with Tremont Williams that maybe isn't getting talked about much is that Williams is going to come here still playing very well, incredibly durable, has played at a high level for many years, and he's going from a place from Green Bay where he was constantly matching up with the number one receiver. Now he's coming here, Joe Hayden's going to be taking that number one receiver, and suddenly, I know people like to bring up the touchdowns against him last year, but you know he's going to be facing, there's a big gap between a lot of teams between number one receiver, number two receiver, and Williams is going to have some more favorable matchups and playing in this defense that really kind of brought the best out of Buster Skrin, brought the best out of Tashawn Gibson, guys like that. Joe Hayden had a great year last year. There's a lot of confidence in the building about how to play with this secondary. You got the same coaches, same system. I think that's why there's a lot of excitement and why Tremont Williams, I don't say you just plug him in right away because you want to facilitate that competition.
Sure.
But again, it's a combination of insurance and a luxury to have and maybe kind of ease the pressure off Pierre Desir and Justin Gilbert where they can get better behind the scenes instead of just right in the fire.
You're right. And, you know, Nathan was a big advocate of Pierre Desir and the way in which he played at the end of the season, you know, matching up extremely well with Kelvin Benjamin and limiting him as well. But I think the why it makes a lot of sense, and yes, he's paid a significant amount of money because he will bring value to that room. He will bring experience to that room full of young guys besides Joe Hayden. But like you said, is if Joe Hayden were to have to miss a game, you really don't – yes, you'll miss Joe Hayden. I'm not trying to say that you won't. He's a great player. He's a Pro Bowler, and we pay him that way. But Tremont Williams, the last 8 years of his career, has been following around that number one. So then you move Williams over to a number one. You don't ask a Desir, a K'Wan Williams, or Justin Gilbert to go guard the number one just so Tremont can stay on the number two. So the insurance associated with him and the experience. And what I love is that a defensive backfield that most people could say was, you know, tops in the NFL, say top five for sure, and played at times throughout last season as the number one defensive backfield in all of football, added, you know, a significant value player in Tremont Williams. Yes, with a high price tag, but I believe Browns fans, you have to trust that he will bring value at all the right times. And as you said, to be a competitor, you know that if Gilbert doesn't rise up and falls on his face, yes, you missed in that first round and will continue to miss until he proves himself, but you have a guy opposite Joe Hayden, and I think is an upgrade from Buster Skrin because of the experience, and you don't have to go with the size thing. You don't have to be worried about him, you know, having played so well against Calvin Johnson. He's an upgrade there. Let's keep banging out these calls. Let's go to Joe in Cincinnati.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, bro? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, man.
First of all, Matt, you sound different.
I do.
I don't know if it's a different, you know, microphone or whatever.
It is a different microphone, and I'm actually hosting this show as opposed to being the co-host,
right.
So I'm kind of running the ship.
There's some Zagura left on that microphone.
There is
it's affecting you.
There you go. But yeah, man, I was born in Houston, Texas. I used to go watch the Browns play against Warren Moon. My parents were Master Beulah, and I've loved him ever since I was a little kid. But, I went to that Browns-Bengals game in Cincinnati this year. And my girlfriend, I took her for her birthday. It ended up being a birthday present for me. One of the cool things on the way to the stadium, though, I ran into The Voice. Ran into him. It was really nice. So.
Awesome, man. So you agree with me. Cincinnati last year, you had the opportunity to be there. I, of course, was watching at home. And I think also, too, what was great about that game, Andrew, is not only with the way that we played and everything that I said about that game and why I chose it as my best game from last year, but the opportunity for it to be on a Thursday night and for all of the NFL to be watching, you know, and for an organization like the Cleveland Browns that has been looked down upon for so long, that was our opportunity. And the players love that opportunity to go out and shine and prove to everyone else, the guys that they're friends with, that they meet at Pro Bowl or that they used to play with in college that are spread out throughout the NFL. You want that opportunity to go out and show the steps that this organization have taken, which brought all those great conversations. It was the finishing aspect of our football season, which was just very tough for us.
Yeah, and you know, it reminded me watching that game, because you don't see, even though the score didn't necessarily reflect it, you don't see one team kind of overmatch a team like that very often in the NFL.
No,
it's
don't.
A very, you know, it's a parity filled league. You know, these teams all have salary caps. They all have legitimately, most teams have about same level of talent at a lot of positions. But you know, that reminded me almost of a non-conference college game. almost just the way one team controlled the game. And then obviously Cincinnati, they took that personally and came back and essentially did the same. Otherwise, that was just the weirdest battle of Ohio year back and forth that we've seen in a long time, just how each team had one game where they just absolutely dominated the other opponent. But for that night in Cincinnati, it was the Browns that were dominating, and it was a mix of defense and efficient offense. And that, you look back on that game, it's like, that's how you want the Browns to play every game, and that's how this team is potentially built at perfection. You have the defense carrying the offense and putting them in good position.
Oh, you definitely do, and I think that's the objection here in Cleveland, to replicate that football game 10-plus times, and you'd most likely be a playoff team. Let's get our last call in before we take a break. Don in Cleveland.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you, Don?
Good, thank you. Best game I ever saw, you know, in my lot older than you guys' lifetime, was the double overtime win in the playoffs between the Browns and the Jets. I believe that was the 86 season, but it was early January 1987, where we went down by 10 points late in the fourth quarter, 4 or 5 minutes to go, and Kozar and the boys brought him back to tie the game, and then we won it in the second overtime period. That's the best one I ever saw. And I was there with my then pregnant wife and my first daughter, who's getting married in 3-4 weeks. The best game last year, I would have to agree with you, Matt, was the Bengals game, just ahead of the Steelers game.
Awesome, Don. Thank you very much for the call, Don.
Have a good one, gentlemen. Thank you.
You too, brother. All right, coming up in the next segment, we're gonna field your tweets. So you can tweet at the show, Browns_daily. You can tweet Andrew Gribble at Andrew_Gribble. And we're gonna continue to field those mailbag questions as well. We can talk Sam Bradford. We can talk quarterback, the best game of all time as a Cleveland Browns fan, and also the best game from last year. I still need that help to fill out my bracket. Who do you have in your Final Four? Who do you have winning it all? Live from Berea, Matt Wilhelm, Andrew Gribble in the Dog Bowl. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN Cleveland, WKNR.